This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray. I am so honored to be here with you today, and I'm grateful. If you're on hold, I'll do my best. And let me just remind you, if you have a need or an intention, you can email me. You can email me, drew@relevantradio.com. And I get a lot of email. I read them all. I can't always write back. So I know some people say, hey, can you give me this? The volume of my email is pretty intense, especially when it comes to, you know, these prayer intentions and the chaplet and the show. But I do read everything. And then I take them to the Lord when I pray. And I ask him, really, I intercede for you in those prayers, and as I'm doing now. But I also really love when you send me your answered prayers. And I'm so grateful for the way God works, from blessing you financially to health to relationships. I received an email today talking about conversion, about somebody who is away from the faith. And this person heard me saying, God always hears that prayer. She prayed with deep faith, deep trust, and wrote to me this morning. She says, you're not going to believe this. They came to me, she said. This person came to me and asked where they could go to confession and how they could come back to church. That's the power of this prayer. I'm telling you, it's extraordinary. It's anointed. And God has brought us together to pray. Please pray for the book that I just released. It's now officially 1 week. It was this time last week that I let you know that the book was out. If it's new to you, if you can get more information, go to relevantradio.com. Or go use your mobile app, and we'll cover the shipping and the handling. There's no strings attached. The book's free. It's all in Divine Mercy. And you'll learn not just about the chaplet and all the other things I talk about, but this concept of trust. I decided to dedicate a chapter on it because I think it's so important in your prayer life. So you might pray, and those words are empty, right? You might say, I don't know. I don't have the faith to move a mountain. You know, how do I pray with trust? I just can't do it. My trust has been violated over and over again. God doesn't hear my prayers. God will meet your spiritual needs. He promised that. He'll meet your physical needs. He promised that. And I think he's given us saints like St. Faustina, who warned us about what distrust does to the Lord. You know, St. John Bosco is another one of these wonderful saints. He was responsible for these young boys, these orphans. And they never had enough money. They were without any sort of resources. And every time his assistant told him of their dire financial problems, and you might be in it right now. Your car might be repossessed. You're behind in your mortgage. Your credit cards are high. Your loans, your medical bills, I don't know. You know what he would always say to that person? He'd say, even when the problem could no longer be put off, he'd turn to that person. He'd say, God will provide. And in every instant, he was right. So trusting in God, it means believing in his care, even when evil seems to be gaining the upper hand, even when your situation seems insurmountable. With God, all things are possible. And I dedicate a whole chapter in this book to it. I think it'll enrich and bless and really help you in your spiritual walk, too. At least I hope it does. All right? Let's pray. We'll pray together. I'm in the studio today with Preston, my colleague here from our accounting department. And Preston, always good to pray with you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I enjoy being here. Thank you.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up?
Yeah, my sister's 9 months pregnant, and we'll be having her baby soon. So I just want to lift the chaplet up today for her and all pregnant women, and just that it will be a healthy delivery.
How's the Alex family?
We're doing great. I mean, yeah, it's good.
All right, sounds great. Let's pray then. We'll pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call comes from Gwen. No, it comes from Martha, listening in Oak Forest, Illinois. Hi, Martha. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. First, I want to give thanks to you and to all of your listeners for praying for me back in February when I called in. My husband and I had COVID, and I mean, God took care of us. He really did, because
God,
it wasn't as bad as it is for some other people. Mm-hmm. And I just pray for all those who have COVID.
Amen.
And I'm calling today for a friend of mine. He called me. He said, can I please pray for Christina, who is a young mother, has a 5-year-old daughter, and was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She was sent home today, and the doctors told her that there is nothing else that they can do for her.
Wow.
So I wanted to offer her up in prayer.
Well said. Well, let's pray. Let's trust. Let's ask God for a real miracle for her cancer, especially. And I want to pray for all those who are battling cancer. My wife's cousin Beth has it. Let's pray for Christine in particular. Terminal cancer in a 5-year-old child, that is a dagger. The cancer is not what hurts her the most, causes her greatest suffering. It's knowing she's got a 5-year-old child that she might leave behind. I just pray for peace to come to this woman. And Lord, I ask for your mercy. You resurrected from the dead. You rose yourself. You brought Lazarus back to life, the widow's son. I pray for new beginnings right now for those who look like their situation is impossible, that there will be miracles that flow from the result of these united prayers. I pray for Martha, and we give you thanks for the healing that she and her husband received. I pray for all those with COVID, all those in the hospital, all those ill in this moment. And I pray for those that will be left behind. I just ask for your mercy, Lord. As we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Lexington, Kentucky is next. Mary, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
I'm asking for a miracle. My grandson, who is 30 years old, is being held by criminals by a man and his mother. And they have had him for 6 months. We've talked to him a couple of times. They won't let us near him. They won't let us near him. And anyway, I want Robbie to come home.
Wow.
And I think they're bad to him too. They've done something to his mind. They're trying to change his mind.
Yeah. Well,
They won't let him have any sleep. If he sleeps at night, they wake him up every 2 hours.
Yeah, sleep deprivation. That sounds like a cult. Well, I'll tell you what, Mary, what you should do is you should notify your local authorities. Okay, and I hope somebody has done that.
We've done all that. We have. We've done all that.
Okay.
Right?
All right, well, then, look, let's do this. Oh, go ahead, Mary, please.
But anyway, I'm asking for a miracle that he'll come home unharmed.
Well, let's do it. You know, Mary, I'll go tell you something. Here's what happens. We've had more answered prayers with people who've been kidnapped, held against their will, went missing through this chapel. It's another one of those charisms. So let's pray for that. If there is nefarious activity underway right now where there is sleep deprivation, manipulation of the mind, if somebody's being held against their will, I'd contact the authorities again to make sure that the right authorities are aware of it or go to another place. That person certainly needs the aid of those authorities. But if the authorities don't think there's anything there, let's pray right now. I don't know the details, but what we can do together is pray. And I want you to trust in the Lord that Robbie will be brought home, okay? And Lord, I ask for this miracle. I ask for those who are being trafficked right now, for all those women tied into a life of sexual slavery and prostitution. I want to pray for those held against their will. I want to pray for this situation where this young boy is separated from his family. I want to pray for those who are abused, those who are being manipulated in all sorts of ways, both physically and mentally. And I just pray for the kidnapped, the lost to be returned. I pray especially for those who've lost their way from you, who are most in need of conversion. So you know these intentions. You know our needs, our wants, you know our hearts. And I thank you for hearing these prayers as I turn to you with great confidence, complete trust, and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Nancy is listening in Springfield, Virginia. You hang in there, Mary. Your prayers are powerful, okay? Hi, Nancy. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you. I appreciate. I want to pray for my daughter, Julie, in Ohio. Okay. She's having a spinal tap today. She's had a lot of troubles with her back. I don't know what's going on. She's had MRI, and now they want a spinal tap. I'm just praying to God for a miracle. She's 55, and she has 11 children.
Oh, wow.
Please help her. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow, yes, that's a big family.
Yes, 11 children. Five still at home, 18 to 10,
wow.
Still at home, but still, and also to, I have a great grandson, 12 going to 13, ADD, ADHD, and dyslexia, and I'm praying for his total, a miracle for Julie and for Ryland, for all his right. ADD and ADHD, for all the children that deal right. with that difficulty and the dyslexia, but I'm also praying, yes?
You know, go ahead, Nancy. I'll let you go. Go right ahead.
I need prayers, please, miracles for my eyes. I'm begging God. I am blind in one eye, macular degeneration in another, and I just saw the doctor today. Things that I was 20/25 in my left eye, but it's gone bad, and I have to have another injection, and it's not fun, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But whatever God has in mind for me, but I'm praying for a miracle of healing.
Well,
my eyes.
Nancy, here's the thing. I mean, I love your spirit. You're holding out a big cup. You're asking God to come through in a big way, and you're praying for miracles. I love that. Prayer is the best weapon that we have. You know, I often refer to what St. Faustina says, that we don't ask big enough. You know, the Lord wants us to really trust to hold out that big cup and to ask for miracles. Let's pray for your eyes. Let's pray for this beautiful mother of 11 children. Let's pray for all of those intentions that you just brought forward. And Lord, on this particular decade, I bring to you every soul who's now praying with Nancy and me for miracles, for those impossible situations where we need new beginnings, we need healing. I bring it to the foot of the cross right now, and I just ask, as a result of these united prayers, that grace will flow and miracles, and you'll put in the motion all that needs to happen for these answered prayers. And I thank you as we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Gwen is in listening to us in Eagan, Minnesota. Hi, Gwen. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. My best friend since ninth grade, 26 years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then 11 years later it came back, and now 2 years ago it went into her bone, and now just a week ago, she started where she couldn't see anymore, so she had to stop wearing her glasses, and she can't drive, she can't read, and she found out that she has 4 weeks to 3 months to live. And so my prayer for her, short of a miracle, would be that God would help her at least be able to get her sight back so she can read and see her grandchildren. And she's 65, and like I said, we've been best friends for 51 years, I believe it is.
Well, she's lucky to have you. Gwen, let's pray for the miracle, okay? I really feel in my heart today that miracles are going to happen. I just, we are praying big, we're asking big, we're trusting completely. I don't know what the Lord has in store. We always have to submit ourselves to his will. He may do this for, a greater good. But right now, Lord, I ask for miracles. Gwen is asking for the restoration of the sight of her friend, if not a miracle outright for her health. But we don't know your will. We submit to it. I just ask for those who now are crying out, Lord, saying, Lord, please help me. I need that miracle. Hear these prayers as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Ronnie's listening in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, it's Joe.
Hey.
I just wanted to know, I subscribed to your Divine Mercy book. It will be here God knows when. But anyway, my prayer is this. I pray for all the priests throughout the world, especially the United States. I pray for the Pope and all your intentions, Drew. You're a blessed man. And secondly, I pray for everyone who called up, because God hears every prayer, and God will answer every prayer that all of your listeners gave to you to pray for, because with trust in Christ, no prayer will be unanswered.
Well, Ronnie, let me just say thank you, because, you pray for me, and I'm grateful for that. I'm praying for you, too, every day, and that's what we do here, right? We're this beautiful spiritual community. We come together every afternoon. We pray for each other here, but I know we take these intentions in our own walk with the Lord as well. Ronnie, I want to pray for every one of your intentions, for priests, for the disease in the country, for all the other things I know that you have mentioned to our call screener and you have personally. Lord, I bring to you now all who are praying with me. As I come once again, I just beg for your mercy on their temporal needs and on their spiritual needs. And today especially, I ask for miracles. Big, scientific, defying, financially defying, legally defying miracles. And I just turn to you now as I pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you holy innocent,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Stay with me when I come back. I'll tell you about St. Faustina's encounter with St. Joseph.
Now it's time to kneel because something very important is about to happen. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 26th Lesson on the Mass. At this point of Mass, everyone is invited to kneel for the Eucharistic prayer. We kneel because something holy and miraculous is about to happen. The bread and wine will be changed into the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we kneel. The first Eucharistic prayer, also known as the Roman Canon, is the prayer that your parents, grandparents, and great-great-great-great-great-grandparents all the way back to 1570 would have followed in Latin at Mass.
Te igitur clementissime Pater.
It was the same from the Council of Trent until the reform of the liturgy of the Second Vatican Council. The Roman Canon is still basically the same, except we now pray it in English, and we've added the name of St. Joseph to the saints we commemorate at Mass.
Mass with Father Rocky, noon central.
And join us for Class After Mass. Hi, this is Cale Clark. It's the Faith Explained, 12:30 Central every day on Relevant Radio.
Then there's other depictions of St. Joseph as a young man, a handsome man, a masculine man, a strong man, who was betrothed to Our Lady. And I'm thinking, well, that makes sense. What beautiful woman is going to marry an old man who's poor? Right? All right. Maybe if he's stinking rich, but, you know, Our Lady was the most beautiful woman ever. And that also tells us St. Joseph, you know, he was ambitious. He wasn't going to settle for anyone. He found, you know, the number one woman in the whole world.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
And, of course, it's Father Rocky, our chief executive officer here. And it's always good to have him at the helm, reflecting a little bit on St. Joseph. In fact, you could probably join him tonight for his rosary. I think he's going to do something on the eve of St. Joseph. Tomorrow is a great feast. It's the solemnity of St. Joseph, right? It's this powerhouse saint, the saint who, you know, there's not a single word in all of Scripture recorded, and yet we know how instrumental he was, not only in the life of the Virgin Mary and the Nativity story and in the life of Jesus Christ himself, their flight into Egypt and so much more. I love him. Tomorrow's a solemnity. And look, I think a lot of graces are going to flow tomorrow. My personal perspective, I just think that when Pope Francis, out of the blue on December 8th, you know, just a couple months ago, announces a year dedicated to this incredibly powerful saint. You know, so many know him as the terror of demons, the patron of the universal church. You know, you go through the litany of St. Joseph. It's so beautiful. This is his time. I think tomorrow on this high feast, this beautiful solemnity of him, graces are going to flow. And so if you have a special need, turn to him tomorrow. Maybe start a Nine-Day Novena tomorrow. Say, I'm going to start on your feast day, and I'm going to really trust you're going to intercede for me. I have seen him come through for me in unbelievable ways. He had Bishop David Ricken, who is a wonderful bishop who founded Wyoming Catholic College, often shares stories of the intercession of St. Joseph. Relevant Radio's own growth came in large part to him. And St. Faustina, she wrote about him. You know, Faustina frequently heard directly, of course, from Jesus and the Blessed Mother. But she also was visited by her angel, who took her to purgatory and showed her, you know, hell and things along those lines. But other saints had appeared to her. In fact, she received a visit from St. Joseph. And it makes sense to me because St. Joseph, you know, he spent his life beside Christ and the Blessed Mother. And to me, he's the most powerful intercessor we could go to, next to Our Lady, of course. So St. Faustina implored his help. She implored his protection. You know, every day when I say my prayers, I always turn to St. Joseph. He's part of that litany of prayer, the litany of intercessors that I turn to. He's a powerhouse. You know, in his apostolic letter, I think it was Patrice Corde, the Pope, he once wrote, he said, every poor, needy, suffering, dying person, every stranger, every prisoner, every infirm person is the child whom Joseph continues to protect. And he says, for that reason, you know, invoke St. Joseph as protector. You know, that's why he is the protector of the needy, the afflicted, the poor, the dying. You know, his litany goes on. He's the patron of the universal church. He's the pillar of families. He's the hope of the sick. We just got done praying the chaplet. He's the patron of the workers. You're looking for that new job. Maybe you're struggling in it. Maybe you're dealing with addictions. He's the terror of demons. Maybe there's division. Scripture tells us about the man, right? He says he was obedient. He was obedient. Jesus was obedient to him too, right? Joseph was obedient to God. The Virgin Mary was obedient. I see this theme of obedience tied through that Holy Family, their humility. You know, and I think that obedience and humility to God, we see the efficacy of their intercession. And St. Faustina would turn to St. Joseph. In fact, St. Joseph appeared to her one time and urged her to have a constant devotion to him. She said, look, he looked at me with such great kindness and gave me to know how much he's supporting this work of mercy. And he promised me, she said, special help and special protection. And in her diary, there's this little area there. You can read much more. I mean, I think it's diary entry 1203, if you own a diary of St. Faustina. She highlights not just his role of intercession, but of drawing souls to God. She said that St. Joseph appeared to her one time and said, look, have constant devotion to me. And he said this. She was praying for something very important. And he told her what to do. St. Joseph told Faustina, he said, recite these three prayers: the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be, and the Memorare once a day. And she said, then he looked at me with great kindness, and he gave me to know that he was supporting this work of mercy. And he promised that, you know, he promised me that I would have his special help and protection. So she says, I recite those prayers every day, and I feel his protection. When I read that in the diary, I decided to do that too. And the Memorare they're talking about is not just the Memorare of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you can certainly do that, but there was a Memorare to St. Joseph that the Sisters of Mercy, Faustina's order, would often pray. So I pray a couple different prayers to St. Joseph, but I always include those, and I would encourage you to do the same thing. Anyway, that's just a little Faustina connection to St. Joseph for you. There's a lot to talk about today regarding St. Joseph, and I invited to the program, I should say, a voice I know you're very familiar with. He is a man who's committed his life, not just to the service of the church, but has entrusted his mission to St. Joseph. He's an oblate of St. Joseph, and it's just a privilege to have with me today on this great day, the eve of the solemnity of St. Joseph, to talk to Father Matthew Spencer. Right now, he is the provincial for his order out of Mount St. Joseph in Loomis, California, and he's taken time out of his busy day to hang out with you and me. So it's good to have you with us today, Father. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Drew. What a pleasure on the eve of this great solemnity, and I am so excited to chat a little bit about this favorite saint of ours, St. Joseph.
He's my middle name. I'm Drew Joseph, so I have a deep love for him, and I've turned to him, and like, you know, God has a mission for us in life, Father, and I often share the story of my own journey. I mean, I never wanted to do talk radio, never thought I'd ever do what I'm doing here, and you know, I had no inkling of it at all. And when God was bringing me to my knees, when I finally had to realize that, okay, the Lord was closing everything that I had loved down or thought I was to do, down. I was really in a really difficult situation in my life. I mean, financially, I have, I think, three or four little kids at the time. I have eventually a family of five, but I mean, it was hard. I couldn't pay the bills. You know, my kids needed diapers. They needed Similac. I mean, it was terrible, all the stuff that was going on. And somebody suggested I turn to St. Joseph, and I did. I turned to Our Lady, to St. Joseph, and to the Child Jesus. And I'll tell you what, he came through in providential ways. He is such a powerful intercessor, and I'd love your take on this. What is it about him today? It's almost like heaven is bringing him to the fore. Unlike any other time, there were centuries of the church where there was almost no devotion to him. Today, the Holy Father's put him into the liturgical prayers. We've got a whole year dedicated to him. There are national conferences all over the country to St. Joseph right now. Fill me in. Give me your perspective.
I think God has, in his providence, knew that we would need St. Joseph at this time. You know, we know that God understands what's going to happen completely in the fullness of time. And so, yeah, for centuries, St. Joseph was hidden in the background. There wasn't a great devotion to him, at least not the same as to other saints. But now, in our times, we need him. And, you know, you mentioned Patris Corde, the letter from Pope Francis declaring the year of St. Joseph. Pope Francis describes various reasons why he wanted to declare this year of St. Joseph, which get to this very question that you're asking. Why now? Pope Francis says, well, first of all, we need fathers in our time. Look at the crisis of fatherhood and family that we're experiencing. And St. Joseph himself, as the father of Jesus on earth, as the husband of Mary, can respond to this need in our times. But he also pointed out that we also need St. Joseph in dark times like this, in the pandemic experience that we're going through, in the political furor that is taken over the world, and in the division, and the fact that people are turning away from God nowadays, we need St. Joseph. So I think that's why, Drew. I think because God knew that at this time we were going to need him, and St. Joseph, in his humility and yet in his strength, has been ready and waiting, and now is coming to lead the world to greater holiness.
I could not agree more. Of course, we've seen him show up in apparitions like Knock and in Fatima and even in some other places. But, you know, I always love, when I was a documentary filmmaker, I included in one of these films I did a place called Zaytun, Egypt. And it was believed that the Holy Family, you know, tradition, legend has it, that that's where the Holy Family stayed on their flight from Egypt, from Bethlehem or Nazareth, wherever they were at the time, to Egypt. And this little town of Zaytun, in 1968, the Virgin Mary began appearing there. And she appeared above a dome of a Coptic Orthodox church. And she was visible to everybody that was present. I mean, they actually took photos. There was, you know, the firehouse on the other side of this church. They thought it was a woman committing suicide. She was standing on the top of this dome. But this would go on for 2 years. The faithful came out, Jews, Catholics, non-Catholics, Orthodox, Muslims, everybody saw her, right? And it was accompanied by a lot of phenomena. And I often thought about that particular apparition and the role that St. Joseph played in it, because, you know, he's such a divine protector. He had to take care of the Holy Family. They had to flee to Egypt with Mary and the Child Jesus. He had to protect them from the onslaught. Really, if you think about it, of the power of the state. And today, Father, you know, I'm sure you know, we are dealing with everything from the Equality Act to problems with, you know, the new head of Health and Human Services and so many other issues that are going on. Your thought on St. Joseph and his role in particular, I mean, what should we do? Should we entrust our country to him? Should we entrust our families to him? What can we do for protection from the state, from the wickedness and snares of the devil? Is there something you'd recommend? Are there prayers, practices? What do you suggest?
Drew, I have been thinking a lot about the virtue of hope. In fact, I've been helping with a parish mission in these days to a parish in Elk Grove, California. And last night we were talking about hope. And here's what I've been reflecting on a lot with in connection with St. Joseph. See, hope is the theological virtue based on faith, right? Once we have the faith that God exists, that he cares for us, that he will provide, then what we have to do is we have to trust. And that's what hope is trusting that God will bring goodness out of dark times, that the triumph of the cross will lead to resurrection for all of us. See, I really believe that St. Joseph lived that hope. He had a profound faith in the plan of God, and then he was able to trust. As you pointed out, the Holy Family had to flee to Egypt, not knowing what the situation was going to be, not knowing when they would return, not knowing exactly whether Archelaus was going to be able to reach them in Egypt and murder the Christ child. So St. Joseph went with a lot of darkness and a lot of uncertainty in his life, and yet he could still hope. He didn't have to give in to despair, but he could hold fast and remain. And I really think, Drew, that's what Christians are being called to in times like this. I know it's very easy to despair, and we look at the political situation, we look at political appointments, or we look at sometimes even within our own church, we look at the divisions and the problems that we experience. But I think really, instead of despairing, instead of giving in to that lack of hope, what we have to do is remind ourselves of the faith that we have embraced, and then trust. You know, it's a message that you bring every day, Drew, to trust in divine mercy, trust in God's plan for us. And that's essentially, I think, what St. Joseph invites us to do, as he did, to trust in him. So concretely, I think all the different things you mentioned are very important. We entrust our country to St. Joseph. We entrust our families to St. Joseph. Personally, I would invite individuals to start imitating St. Joseph better, to start modeling their lives, patterning their lives after the virtues of St. Joseph. And that alone, Drew, will transform the world. If you and I are living more like St. Joseph, the world will be a different place.
Well, I heard a great quote yesterday from a guest that was on. He quoted G.K. Chesterton, speaking to your theme of hope. He says, Chesterton says, hope is about having hope when things seem hopeless. And I think you're right. I mean, I always think there's a brighter day. I just look back at history and some of the horrors that people had to live through. In the end, you know, we will get through this pandemic. In the end, administrations will change. In the end, if we apply our principles, you know, those faithful principles, if we're true to God, we're going to get through it, and the culture will be a better place. Peter's 11 years old in New Jersey, Father. I need to take a short break. Let's get him into the conversation. He's got a question for you. If you want to join us, my guest today, Father Matthew Spencer, I only have him for a few moments. We're talking about St. Joseph. Was St. Joseph old when he died? Was he young? Where's his body, right? What about his relationship with angels? What was the inner life of St. Joseph like? Today's your chance to take a look at the extraordinary saint who was the foster father of Jesus and the great protector of the Virgin Mary, St. Joseph. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
So I think what Cuomo is doing should be illegal.
All the issues.
It's a very serious issue.
All the topics.
So that's my comment.
One place.
God bless you.
The Drew Mariani Show.
And the whole Relevant Radio community.
On Relevant Radio.
For producing this show.
We go there.
Such a great bumper, Jake. Oh, I love it. It's good to be back. Thanks for joining me. That's a classic song, isn't it? Hey, just taking a look at the extraordinary life of St. Joseph today. We're on the eve of the solemnity. I want to get you ready for him. Tomorrow, celebrate. There is a little bit of good news for you. You know, you don't have to abstain tomorrow. St. Joseph it's a feast day, right? It is a feast day. And I hope you will celebrate St. Joseph. In fact, I'm joined by a wonderful oblate of St. Joseph, Father Matthew Spencer, one of our colleagues here at Relevant Radio for a long time. And just right now he's serving his order out of Mount St. Joseph's in Loomis, California. He's the provincial there. And Father, very quickly, before we go to Peter and take any calls, let me just get your take on, you know, Friday during Lent, you have to fast from meat. You have got to do, you know, abstinence, et cetera. Fill me in tomorrow. What happens on these solemnities and these feast days?
Oh, canon law. The canon law, Drew, is very important to know, because when we read canon law, we realize that when a solemnity falls on a Friday, even in Lent, then the abstention from meat is relaxed. We don't have to abstain from eating meat. So, it's actually important, I think, not necessarily to eat meat, but to celebrate, right. to observe it as a great feast day. And so, we're allowed and permitted to eat meat tomorrow on the Feast of St. Joseph.
So what do you do? I mean, you guys, your whole order you're dedicated to St. Joseph. How do you guys party, celebrate? How do you enjoy the solemnity? What do you do?
Well, the first part of what we do is prepare for it well with a 9-day novena. So we've been observing a solemn 9-day novena for the last 9 days. Today's the last day of that novena. And that's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. We read through John Paul II's letter on St. Joseph, Redemptoris Custos. We go through the scripture readings that refer to St. Joseph. And that really helps. It really helps spiritually to prepare us for that. And then what we try and do, Drew, honestly, is we try and share our faith with the people who come to ask for St. Joseph's intercession. So our masses are a little more solemn. We are available for confessions. We try and pull out all the stops when it comes to making people joyful about the earthly father of Jesus.
But I'm assuming there's good food, right?
There's good food also.
The name is Mariani. Look, I'm an Italian. I want to have some good food. I want to celebrate. I'm going to come out and visit you.
I like, Drew?
What?
Yeah, in Sicily, there's a tradition of eating zeppoli, which is one of the richest, delicious pastries from Italy that I've ever had. And a lot of shops only make it for the March 19th. So it's really special that way.
I was broadcasting in Rhode Island, and I was there on the Feast of St. Joseph, and that's where I was introduced to those. So awesome stuff.
All right,
let's go to Peter in New Jersey. He's 11 years old. He's got a question for you, Padre. Hi, Peter. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Go right Peter. Ahead. You're on with Father Spencer.
Hi. I was wondering, how it can be, more like St. Joseph.
All right. Very good. That's a great question, Peter. Well, the first thing that we can do to be more like St. Joseph, I think the first thing we have to do, Peter, is we have to know about him. So what does that mean? It means we have to read from the Bible, especially from the first couple chapters of St. Matthew, the first couple chapters of St. Luke. These are accounts that you're familiar with, right? Because they're accounts from the birth of Jesus. They tell us about how St. Joseph found out that his wife, Mary, was with child. And how did he respond? How was his reaction? We start to look at how did he respond when there were difficulties in his life? And he responded with patience. He responded with humility. In fact, Peter, you might know that there's not a single word of St. Joseph inside of Scripture. So he remained kind of silent, instead of trying to argue with God or complain to God. He was very humble and simple in his response to God. So I think that's the first thing we do, Peter, is we start to know about him and to see how he lived his life. And what I would add to that is we start to love our Blessed Mother and to always have a deep relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the center of Jesus's life. So he loved Mary and he loved Jesus with all his heart. So if you want to be like St. Joseph, Peter, it means you love Mary and you love Jesus. How do you love Mary? Well, you spend time with her. You pray the rosary. You ask for her support and her help. You pray with your family to our Blessed Mother. How do you know Jesus better? You spend time with him. You go to adoration. You pray to him. You go to Mass, and you do your best to pay attention. These are all ways that we can imitate St. Joseph by loving Mary and loving Jesus. This is a great question, Peter, and I know lots of people listening right now are really going to benefit from having heard and thought about your question.
Okay. Peter, thank you. Have a great day. Okay, you pray for Father and I. We appreciate it. All right.
Please do. Thank you.
Certainly use those prayers, right? All right. My guest, Father Matthew Spencer, as I said, I only have a minute or two left, so if you want to join him, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. One of the things that we see today, and I've been talking a lot about the attack on the family and why we need fathers. I've been covering this Equality Act and how it is really attacks the family on so many different levels. We see what happens in the culture. We see what's happening with the cancel culture here. We see how fathers on television are often vilified, mocked, or made to look like buffoons. And I really think the evil one has a special enmity for the family. Sister Lucia de Santos, she spoke about that, about the final confrontation. It will be over, family. You know, and that's part of what she said would happen right now. And I think part of the problem is a lot of men, Father, have abdicated their spiritual role in the family. And I think that's changing. And I think the perfect model for us is Saint Joseph. You know, you and I were talking about there was a study that was done, I think it was Sweden years ago, and this was years ago, so I remember talking about it probably 10 years ago when I was on the air. Are you familiar with that study? Do you know what I'm talking about the role of men and how important it is in leading the family?
Yeah, that's right. This was done some years back, and I think it was the Swiss government that looked at the role of the father in the faith life of children. It was a sociological study, Drew. It wasn't necessarily a religious study.
Right.
And what they did was they polled a lot of people and asked, well, how is your faith? How is the exercise of your faith? And compare that to your parents' life. So did your parents go to church regularly? Did your dad go to church regularly? Did your mom go to church regularly? And there were some really amazing, very fascinating numbers that came out of that, Drew. I think it was when the father is going to church most regularly, that is the single greatest indicator of whether children will continue to go to Mass as well. And we know that a lot of fathers are, as you mentioned, abdicating on that responsibility. If we want our children to begin to exercise and practice their faith well, a lot of that responsibility lands on fathers, taking it very seriously, going to Mass and making that a priority.
All right. Well, let's do this, Father. Let's go to the phones. We only got a couple minutes left. Mike is joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mike, thanks for joining the conversation.
I just want to tell you both that I really miss Father Matthew Spencer on the 5 o'clock afternoon hour. Father, well, boy, I really miss you badly, but I know that you're off to better things now. And Drew, you're my second, or my you guys are both tied for first place.
I'll take second place, Mike. Mike, I'll take second. Let's get Father first.
Well, yeah,
I'm just telling you that
you both have baby better Catholic, and I'm still trying to do better. And I don't want to take off subject, but just one thing: I'm in my 60s. I'm divorced. And one of these days, I need to write to one of you about how I can actually fix that in terms of getting right with Christ and the Lord in terms of my divorce and fixing all that up. But I just wanted to tell you that I love you both, and please
thank
keep
you,
up
Michael.
The good work. I'm a better person because of both of you.
Well, thank you for those kind words. I mean that. That really means the world to me. Father, I'm sure you probably feel the same way. And in terms of helping Mike in his own journey here, I mean, a good canon lawyer would help him, right? I mean, who would you recommend that he speaks to about that?
I would say, Mike, go to your parish priest. I know it's hard to make appointments with priests right now. It's hard because of COVID, maybe. And by the way, thank you, Mike. I miss you, too. I mean, I only very reluctantly gave up that time with you, but I had other responsibilities to assume, so maybe someday I'll get to join you again regularly.
Right. I understand, Father. I just miss you terribly.
Thank you. Thank you. Look, I think the way you start is just by getting in touch with one of your local priests. I know it seems pretty overwhelming sometimes. I know it can seem like it might be a very difficult process. It's just one step at a time, right? One step at a time, start the conversation. You don't necessarily need a canon lawyer right out of the gate. You just need to start talking to a local priest and see what steps are there and how complex it might be. But I'm really happy to hear that you say that you want to get it resolved, because I know that the Lord also would like you to resolve that situation. And we'll pray to Saint Joseph that as he is patron of husbands and fathers, he'll also help you to resolve that situation.
Mike, I'm going to be at an event tomorrow dedicated to St. Joseph, so I'll remember your intentions during that Mass when I'm there, okay? I'll pray for you, so the right doors will open.
Great.
All right. Hang in there, brother. Right, thanks. I got to leave it right there because I'm up against the clock here with Father Matthew. Father, thanks for being here. Happy feast day to you. I want to give you an early happy feast day, and I'm going to give you the final 30 seconds for anything you want to leave with those who deeply miss you.
Thank you, Drew. Well, I would just like to encourage everybody listening, go to St. Joseph. He is humble. He is simple. he might not seem like such an amazing saint to turn to, but the more that you come to know him, the more you will realize how powerful and how amazing he is, and what a blessing it is for us to know him that way. So may God bless you, Drew. Happy feast day, and God bless all of our listeners.
All right. Hey, Father, thank you. That's Father Matthew Spencer. Say a prayer for him. And stay with me when we come back. I saw a report regarding Vladimir Putin's mental health. You got to hear this. I don't know how true this is. I'll share that with you and more right after this.